Okay, we're going to skip studying the laws of Pesach. So we're up to page 356. What is the reason for Bedikat Chametz? Okay, we're on page 356. On yours, I think 353, or it could be 356. Okay, what is the reason for Bedikat Chametz? So there's a dispute between Rashi and Tosfos over the reason for this, because something that is usually permitted to us, when it becomes forbidden, it becomes very forbidden. So the Torah doesn't have to tell us to make a search for pork or truma if you're not a Kohen, or milk and meat, because those things are forbidden to us. So we're not used to eating it. But because we're used to eating chametz, so you got to be careful. You might put a slice of pizza someplace in your, because you're eating it 51 weeks of the year. So you might put a donut, a bagel, a Kit Kat bar, some bag of pretzels. So you have to put it away so that you don't come to inadvertently eat it. That is Tosfos' explanation of why we do a B'dikas Chametz. Rashi's explanation is so that we don't violate the Torah in owning chametz. So you have to go look under the couch, look behind the beds, look under the table, look behind the counters, your pockets. So Tosfos, why did Tosfos disagree with Rashi? Rashi said his perish first. Tosfos disagreed because part of the B'dikas Chametz is where we make a declaration. All the chametz I own is worthless and ownerless, and it's like the dust of the sea, like the dust of the earth. So if that's the case, then if I don't find all the chametz behind the counter, I'm not violating Pesach and owning it. I don't own it. I renounce the ownership of that. Okay. You see, until recently, Jews were never rich enough to have actual chametz to store. People had food for a day or two, and then they got more food. You didn't have refrigeration. You didn't have too many places to store food. If you stored food for too long, then the mice will eat it. Right? So when Jews started to have storage and started to become more wealthy, so in the middle of the 19th century, there became another safeguard called mechiras chametz, where you sell chametz that you know about. Okay? It's you don't violate Pesach in owning it, because even though it may remain in your house, you sold it. It's not yours.
I didn't know that that was a fairly recent.
Yes, 1840 is the first first shtar mechira for Pesach, or selling chametz. The idea of selling chametz on Pesach is older than this. It starts off as a tosefta. Tosefta is from the Tanaim. So it's 1,800 years old or more. The Tosefta tells a story about him. Tosefta tells a story about a man who was on a ship on Erev Pesach. This man was on a ship on Erev Pesach, and he realized that he had a warehouse full of beer, and he was going on a ship someplace else, and he wasn't going to be in the place where the beer was. So he went to the non-Jewish sailor, captain of the ship, and he sold all the beer that was in the warehouse. It's many times. And he sold all of the beer to someone who wasn't Jewish. Now, you might have a minhag today. You might be familiar with a minhag, but some people don't sell actual chametz. They won't sell Cheerios. They won't sell chametz gomel, we call it. They won't sell pretzels. They won't sell bread. They won't sell breaded food. Right? By all means, everyone should maintain the minhag that they're used to having. But the original minhag was that the person who sold chametz was selling beer, which is mamash chametz gomel. It's chametz be'en. Just liquid chametz, right? So But there is still a difference. When we sell chametz, we keep it in the house. We keep it in the house, isn't it? Right? So some people don't want to sell anything that they could possibly violate Pesach by eating it. So what are they selling? Not chametz gamur, but it's called tarovis chametz, mixture of chametz. What is a tarovis chametz? Anything that's in your house now that doesn't say kosher lePesach on it, but that isn't actually chametz ben, right? Potato chips, peanut butter, whatever. Look, open up your spices. Open up your. See, you have lots of things in the house. It's not chametz. Chametz gomer is pretzels, cookies, Cheerios, breads, pastas. So, what's the difference? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ovrin b'tarubis chametz mishum b'yora b'yamatzei." Because the amount of chametz you're not allowed to own is that little crumb over there. You violate chametz by owning this crumb. So we take care of that with the bittul. That's what Tosfos disagreed with Rashi. What I said before, that the reason for the bedikas chametz is actually not so that you don't come to own chametz, because you're not going to own chametz. You're renouncing the chametz. It's so that you don't eat shema yimtza gluski yafe. You don't come to eat a Kit Kat bar because you come home hungry and you forgot that it's Pesach. And you start munching away. So if someone has the minhag of selling chametz gamur, especially if they're going away for all of Pesach, but if they are going to be home, then you better put all that chametz in a cabinet that's with a big piece of tape around it, right? And maybe a sign that says, don't open this to it, and something like that. Some therefore have a minhag of they will sell chametz gamur, but only if it's an enclosed box. An unopened box of Cheerios they'll sell, not a half-open box. Why? Because the assumption is by the time you get to open it and get to satisfy your late-night hunger, you'll remember, oh, what am I doing? It's Chol Hamoed. What am I doing? Okay.
Is there a problem? What do they do with the chametz? They just get rid of it?
If you don't sell it, what do they do with it?
Yeah, they get rid of it. They have boxes here, Chad.
No, you're here, but let's say...
Boxes ready?
Yeah.
Okay, the boxes, we said we're going to give it to Gentiles. That's that, I think, the chiddush of the Yaakov Emden. He says that when we open the Seder, kol dichpin yesev yechol, kol ditzrich yesev yivsach. Why do we have to say two lines? Whoever is hungry, come in and eat. Now, the next line is a little tricky. I don't think it means whoever is needy. I think it means whoever needs, come and join us for the Korban Pesach. Yesev yivsach. You don't have to be needy to need the Korban Pesach. You'd be very rich and you just don't have one. So whoever needs, come and eat the Korban Pesach. But this is obviously too late to invite someone to the Korban Pesach. You can't invite, you can't eat the Korban Pesach and just join someone at their Seder. You have to be registered. Michsas nefashos, you have to be registered at the time of that the Korban Pesach was slaughtered. If you're not registered, you can't get an invitation at the Seder. And most people, I assume, who come to Shul on the night of the Seder know where they're having their Seder.
Actually, I have a friend who specifically invites someone that they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically,
I'll go around the Shul and do that too. Keeping one or two open spots just for that. In case, but I'm just saying most people on the other end know what they're doing.
But isn't popular by Yitzhak, they kept the formula, but all the generations, the same way we call it, don't call it Chag Matzos anymore. We call yes, you mean Seder.
Now I'm enjoying the Seder. Yes. I mean, no doubt that that's what it has evolved to mean. But this is what Yaakov Emden wants to say it means. Is that kol dichpin yesev yechol means Gentiles. I have food for you. Best day of giving food to Gentiles is Erev Pesach.
But do you collect, Lincoln's really issue says everything on the clothes, but you couldn't give.
No, because the shelter we give to. They're happy to take open things.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
They're happy to take a half box of Oreo cookies or half.
I pointed out that I'm just so willing to have stuff out.
Yeah, if you still have any, then you can bring it here.
Okay, good.
Isn't that like, in terms of the problem about Tashkent, if you just.
Yeah.
So isn't that kind of.
I mean, every pace up, there's no choice, but.
No, but before, if they're not selling yet.
Yeah. You do something with it. Yeah. I would just say, eat it. Eat it. See how much you have left to eat.
I would agree.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's Kol Dishpin because I'm getting rid of all this chametz, and that's obviously in the morning.
Right.
You can't give it away in the afternoon. So the chametz is already also to you. Right. The raya is if a man gives a woman a ring on Erev Pesach and says, Haret Nukadesh, sleep with the Baal Sukkadas Moshe Yisrael, they're married. If he gives her $1,000 worth of chametz, not on Pesach. On Pesach, we know chametz has no value. But the Rabbanon express their rulings and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that if a man gives a woman chametz on Erev Pesach at 12 in the afternoon, it's not Mikudeshes. Money, the chametz does not have value. He's not in violation of Bayera Bayamatzah yet. It starts with Pesach.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's interesting though because it's valueless for him, but the world at large, it still attached value.
Of course. But it has no, what's the definition of halachic value? Can a man makadish a woman with this money? Or can you make it hektish? It's mekdish. So if you can't makdish chametz on a Pesach, certainly not on Pesach. Okay, so we have the purpose of this bedika is to prevent us from something that is hergel davar. We're so used to eating chametz the rest of the year, we're worried that the person comes in. Well, not on Shabbos Yontif because that's already too different. But on Chol HaMoed, he's coming in from his job. He's doing something he normally does. Comes home. It's 10 o'clock at night. He usually opens up the cabinet there, takes out a candy bar and a drink. And he starts munching and he forgets that it's Chol HaMoed. So if the cabinet is locked and there's tape on, he goes, oh, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, it's basic. What am I doing? So then there's, that'll be the reminder. Plus, by the time he opens up the unopened box, I'll remember that it's Pesach. So that explains that custom.
We should have crimes.
Crimes, yeah. A crime will be committed if you.
That would
have you ever heard that. Anybody ever maybe knows?
Actually not, but I also never heard of anybody tuning a piano that didn't sound good on Shabbos. And that's why we don't play piano on Shabbos, because it may come to tune it.
I do have some friends that really... You're great.
Huh? I mean, I just use that svara.
Yeah, right.
Is that the Gemara says that Gentiles are not invited to the Seder because Shemayar Bebishvilov. It's Yontif.
Oh, right.
So what do you mean Shemayar Bebishvilov? I'm all cooked. I'm not even serving meat cooked goods. I'm serving peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And still, it can't. Shemayar Bebishvilov, the rabbis know when to make a gzera and play around. Okay. All right, so this is what you have. It's page 2353, I think, in yours, is the Mishnah that talks about the Bedikas Chametz. Sachem starts off like many other Masechtas in Moed, where the Gemara starts with something that precedes the holiday, building the Sukkah, the Kohen Gadol a week before Yom Kippur. And again, Shabbos starts off with the laws of caring, because the Gemara says, before you leave on Erev Shabbos, check your pockets. So that's maybe even before lighting the candles. Otherwise, Perek Sheni should have opened Masechet Shabbos, right?
Oh, that's one of the things that you really, about Malachos, you're more likely.
Yeah, it's more like toast is closed, Malachos Grua. So Masechet Sachem begins with Bedikas Chametz. Makes sense. It's getting rid of the Chametz. Right? So something before the actual holiday. Right? Okay, So we did the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over why, right? There's still, you see on page 354, you have the defense of Rashi's interpretation. Right? Because a mental nullification of the Chametz on Pesach doesn't do enough for something that is so normally mutter the rest of the year. You have to do something beyond that. Because I can point to three mitzvahs of the Torah that have the broad heter and that, but the same element has a tzad iser. And when it becomes that iser, it becomes very aser. Nazir. Because this wine, these grapes are usually permitted to him. So this 30 days when it becomes forbidden to him, we just not finished learning. Seches Nazir finishes today, is the scene. So it becomes very usher. Hilchos Nida, right? Because this is usually something that is mutter, and now it becomes aser. And chana itza on Pesach, which is 51 weeks a year, I mean, can eat this food fine. I would even ask you, just to, as a bring a raya, what would disgust you more? To eat a pretzel a week from tonight, or to eat a bacon and cheese sandwich?
And cheese.
I would be more.
Everybody
disgusted.
Says bacon and cheese, but halachically speaking, they say that chametz is worse.
No, but the pretzel doesn't disgust you. It's not.
It's business as usual. You know, bacon and cheese burgers so out of the norm.
Yes. And bacon touched my mouth. If you ate a pretzel on Pesach, it's going to say, oh, I ate a pretzel. I did a pretzel. Okay. I mean, no, but you, of course you're right.
Yeah.
The pretzel is chayv kareis. The, you know, okay. So, but I'm just saying, if you either one b'shogeg, right? B'shogeg, if you eat chametz b'shogeg on Pesach, you have to bring a carbon chatas.
Right.
If you eat a bacon and cheese sandwich b'shogeg, you have to feel bad that you that this avera came to you. But the kapara is much less eating bacon b'shogeg than eating.
You're eating bread. It's a sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Also.
Double.
I think an example of this would be eating a bologna and cheese sandwich. Bologna and cheese does not violate the Torah unless you cook them, melt them together. Mm-hmm. So when you violated your Rabbanon by mistake, I'm not talking by accident, by mistake, there's no, you don't need kapara because the Rabbanon cannot create the Hefzah Shel Isser. They create safeguards. If you violate the Torah by mistake, then you have to feel bad. You might possibly even bring a korban. Okay. Anyway, that's the defense of Rashi. That because it's something that's so permitted to us the rest of the time, just nullification in your mind doesn't cut it as much that Rashi felt that I need to make a bedika to prevent that.
It can become permissible, right? After.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the Rambam. Yeah, Rambam says that it's a davashesh lamatirin, so it becomes very usher. Davashesh lamatirin, it means that it's normally permitted and it will become again permitted. So why rely on bitul or some other heter to eat it now with a nullification when I can just wait? A classic example of this is a muktzah egg. A muktzah egg on Yontif that gets mixed up with 10,000 kosher eggs. All 10,001 eggs are prohibited on Yontif. One treif egg, mamish a treif egg, is the egg of a treif bird totally. It mixes in with 60 kosher eggs. All 61 are permitted on Yontif.
What's a muktzah egg?
An egg laid on Yontif. An egg that was laid on Yontif.
Oh, okay.
Beit Sishin Olda B'Yontif. First Mishnah Beit. So a treif egg has a leniency over a muktzah egg. Why? Treif is a Torah law. Muktzah is a rabbinic law. Answer is, Davishesh Lamatirin. Why rely on nullification to eat any of these 10,001 eggs today when you could just wait till tomorrow and eat all of them? I simply said, fine, eat something else. Right? So nullification of it is different if it's davashesh material. The Rambam considered Amid San Pesach to be a davashesh material, which many achronim use as a raya that the Rambam must have felt that chametz she'avara lo b'Pesach is nothing more than a knas midrabanan.
Right.
Because if your chametz that a Jew owned during Pesach is forbidden by the Torah afterwards, then how is it a davashesh lamatirin? You have to come up with a different reason why chametz is asur b'mashir. Right? Which Rashi says, because it's a pi of kareis, together, kareis by itself is not enough to say it's batel asur b'mashir, because dam and chelev is also isur kareis and it's batel b'shishin. It has to be the isur kareis coupled with the fact that this food is normally permitted. That's what makes it so prohibited on Pesach. And this might also explain why some families have the minhag that they will not buy dairy products during Pesach. So I would just tell you that's a mistaken minhag. the real minhag is you only buy dairy products that say kosher to Pesach on Pesach. Technically speaking, if you buy dairy products before Pesach, as long as it's kosher, this does not need a special hashgacha of Pesach. Right? Because whatever chametz might have gotten into the cow's milk from what it ate that day, right? It's one part in a billion, one part in a million, one part in a thousand. Certainly not one part in 60, right? But during Pesach, chametz is not bavel b'shushim. Chametz is asa b'mashu. So even 1/10 billionth part chametz in that cow's milk is enough to make the milk. So what does kosher Pesach mean? That cow was not fed any chametz product for a few days before it was milked.
It wasn't great. To
curry
it.
Could be.
When I was growing up, I mean, we were in our kosher dairy in Boston. So everybody bought everything before. Now.
Right. So that's a simple thing. Okay, because the milk, as long as the milk is essentially kosher. Okay. All right, so the bedika is required, like, even though Sagi Bebittel, so this is, Paskin this way. Okay. So, because Bittel is not such a simple thing. Maybe the person didn't do the Bittel at all. Maybe he didn't do it right. Maybe to nullify what you own is a common thing, the Gemara seems to say. People nullify, let's say, someone wants to take payah for somebody else, but he's not poor enough to take payah. So you can theoretically make yourself poor at any moment by renouncing your whatever you own.
Especially if they're saying in Aramaic, they don't understand all the words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another case of this is demai. Machilin es ha'aniyim demai. Gemara says that you're allowed to have a mezumin with someone who ate demai. Demai is questionably whether food was tithed or not. Questionable. So only poor people are allowed to eat demai, Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, so why can I bench mezumin with this person? It's because theoretically he has at any moment the ability to make himself be able to eat demai by doing what? By renouncing his ownership. Okay? So when we renounce our ownership of all chametz the day before Pesach, Rashi may be worried that maybe he didn't do it right. So we have to do a bedika to make sure that he doesn't come to own any chametz unjustified.
Well, I also heard the two news out in the morning. We'll pay attention to them.
Yeah. I always insist that people say that in English.
Yeah. When they're
burning the fire, we say
that. Rub it also.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so there's a lot of lumdus in declaring something ownership, ownerless. There's a shita in the Yerushalmi in Shvius that says you have to declare something ownerless in front of a Beis Din. And that's not very practical on Erev Pesach, but there is a shita like that because a Beis Din has to make sure that you're doing it right.
Okay. Also, really, you're a coal to the, that it really is ownerless.
Right, to give it to publicize. But good is it just in your heart to say it's ownerless now, and then you go back and grab ownership of it right afterwards. You wouldn't have to sell chametz then. Yeah, it's in my house, but I don't own it. Why? Because I said no. I said I don't own it.
Nobody heard.
So normally the Gentile would have to come into your house and actually make a kinyan to acquire it like we did before. So, because you can't sell a movable object with money. In other words, if I say, how you give me $50 and say this watch is now yours. So it's not yours until you pick it up. So you gave me the $50 and then a brick falls in the ceiling and crushes the watch. I have to give you your money back because you didn't take possession of the watch. It's still mine. His ramifications somewhat for undoing the sale also. You get a mishpara, but still you can undo the sale until you actually pick up the movable object. Now, chametz is a movable object. So how do I come to be able to do this? So because what I do is I sell the chametz. This is also a mission in Shvius to get and kedushin, of course. But I sell it with something that's immovable. What's an immovable object that we sell all the time is real estate. Right. So if I have a small parcel of real estate, and the Gemara says it could be a kol shi, I'm just like an inch by an inch of little land. This program is called Buy a Piece of Israel. Like they sell you like a little, like a,
that's all it is.
And buy a piece of Israel as well. They sell you like a fist size of it, of land in Israel for a few hundred dollars or something. And so I say, I own land in Israel. The Vilna Gaon felt that Peah has to be given certainly midrabbanan on the outside of Israel. And he also wanted, he tilled some soil just so he could be Yotze and Peah and be a tiny bit of. So I sell the movable chametz with this immovable real estate, a small parcel in Tannersville, New York. And therefore, since the Gentile doesn't have to or can't pick up the real estate, so the movables to get sold with it. If you remember the Gemara at the end of the first pair, the end of the first main sugya of Kedushin, like the talks about whether the movables have to be placed in the land in order to sell both. But we don't pass it that way. Of course not. Then I'd have to take all that chametz and bring it over to Tannersville.
It'd be the utility of using it.
Of course. And then, it's the convenience of selling the chametz this way. All right. So all these amount to safeguards for one of the most, safely guarded mitzvahs in the Torah. And the haraya, I know people who don't keep kosher the rest of the year, but they're very makbid not to eat bread on Pesach. There's a rule in Israel, and I think they're running into trouble now about whether or not, you know, can they serve bread in the hospitals on Pesach.
People could bring it, but I understand the whole issue. Like, I assume they use, you know, disposable, because I can't believe all these hospitals have, like, all these Pesach plates. So I'm using disposable things. So I just know what the issue is about.
Yeah, but the issue is people aren't talking, so they don't know how to make a deal.
That joke of yours. We should put the connection.
Yeah. All right. So. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that is. Because look, I just say it as I close out, you know, there's a Gemara also in Kiddushin, the Memtes, we're learning a lot of Kiddushin today. It says, Dvarim Shabalev Enam Dvarim. And you can't really think away something. So Rashi says it's not enough to just think away your chametz. So you have to express it, you have to say something, say the word. So we do that. You know, after we put aside the candle and we find the pieces. And so we say something. And that's really the klal of the bedika, is that you go from something that's thought and from shabalev to speech and then to action. So Rashi wants the action not just to be to prevent eating chametz, but also something about preventing owning chametz. Right? This goes a long way to explain more. Okay. What's the time for the bedika's chametz? Or, you know, the ideal time for the bedika is, like the same time as you light the menorah, just right after you get home from Mincha Maariv, which is about a half hour after Shkia, is the time to start doing it. I bedafka don't learn Torah that night here. I usually very very makbid to learn between Mincha Maariv, and I don't on Chanukah, and I don't on the night of the B'dikas Chametz, in order that people should take it seriously to go home and start it now. Now, the B'dikas Chametz, really, I'll be minog, you know, should start on Purim. You start on Purim to
make people do, right?
Yeah, it's to start putting aside and then going room by room. You're not going to clean out the whole house just that night. You'll be doing this well in advance. But that night, which is sort of finishing off because I want to still eat something in the morning, perhaps. And the Ramah what is worried about putting out 10 pieces of bread and then just looking for that. And then that's it. Because there's a bracha of batala that I might not find. The mitzvah is not Tzias Chametz. Mitzvah is Bedikas Chametz. Right? So, all right, some people put out the ten pieces to symbolize the 10 lost tribes, and I don't know, whatever they symbolize it. Some Sukkim and Tzfanya and Shea. So, okay, so it doesn't dafka have to be 10 pieces, but what it should be is one person should be in charge of knowing where those pieces are. Right? Yes. Mara's good. That's Lamdish section in the Seches Pesachim, where you leave at 9, you find 10, you leave at 10, you find 9, you leave, right? See a mouse taking you, see a weasel taking you, So what's the chazakah after you finish cleaning it up? And so remember, the mitzvah is not to find the chametz. The mitzvah is to search for the chametz. There's no mitzvah to buy chametz so that you can find it. And first Mishnah says you only have to check the places where you know you brought chametz. Right? So, but the halacha turns what I just said on its head. The burden is you have to know you did not bring chametz to that place. See the difference? It's not you only have to check the places you know you brought chametz. So Shabbos, of course you'd have to do that. The only places you don't have to check is the contrapositive. You don't have to check the places where you know you did not bring chametz. The burden of proof is to know you did not. If you're not sure, you have to check. Okay? That's why the mouse is one of the villains of Bedikas Chametz, because you can know you checked a room, but the chazakah is weakened by a mouse that might bring in some bread in there.
Is there any halacha on how well lit the room should be when you go search?
Adarabba, the custom is to have just the avuka, not the avuka, just to have the candle.
I know.
So in our house, we have the lights off. We just use the candle.
No, actually, the opposite. You should leave all the lights on.
Oh, yeah.
And use flashlight. I mean, a really powerful flashlight. It's making it more difficult to actually accomplish the point of the.
I know, but because.
Yeah, I
want to make it like they did it 5,000 years ago.
They didn't have to worry about the refrigeration. So,
okay.
What could they possibly find?
Yeah. So we always did it in my house because they're kids. They made it into
everybody
knows
it.
To make it like the way it was. You know, when Moshe Feinstein wrote the tshuva about whether or not to use a flashlight or a candle, so he said there's a pasuk in Tzfanya where it says God will search us out with a candle. He searched for his people with a candle. So the flashlight was better than a candle, then Hashem should look for us with a flashlight.
But the rabbi answered to his question also. Because he had to want to find
it. Right.
No, but he also said, use a candle. Does Zeicher for the minute?
Ah, okay, good.
Okay. But it's not that every time you answer a question, you say, you don't want it in my answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember you said it with that. I did say we wouldn't allow anyone to speak in until you ate the Abikoma. It was Hesek from Achilles from washing until the Abikoma.
Wait a second.
He did not speak. And he said, you don't want me to answer that question. And then he gave the answer, but he did not speak.
Because
the real Achilles Mahatsa is.
That's okay. Yes.
So the washing is really on that. So it's the Hesek. So there was no conversation. I heard him say it, and I witnessed it.
Huh. That shita is in Issus, it's in Tosfos, it's in Rashbam. That is amazing. And I heard that it was not fast also.
Yeah.
You really could go from the Adama of the Karpas to cover your Moro.
Right. Although this, I read about it, that someone at the table spilled it toward the end of Magid, the second time. And Ramosha, his father, made him say most Magid all over again because the Kosev still, that he said Magid on. So he couldn't drink from that cup. Couldn't drink. He had to say Magid over again. Our Kosev is going to say with the bracha on him. And then also he didn't do everything. He made him repeat everything up until the time he spoke a cup. They were consistent.
Like so. Okay. So that's why I have the same standard for Hanukkah and for the Islamics is to convince people.
Isn't that the halakha that you shouldn't start learning?
Yeah, even yeah, learning. That's why I use the learning aspect. That there should be no interruption. Kav Chomer, you know, a movie or, you know, a baseball game or something. Okay. Okay. I mean, it's there's a full moon outside. The poskei, you should light the room should be lit with not moonlight, but with the light. I mean, why are we doing it at night? You can do it just well in the morning, but at night the candle will maybe
create more impression.
Okay. Right, so that's on page 300 and the Gemara warns everybody that when it comes to mitzvahs that we do at night, what would that be? It's the menorah, it's Bedikas Chametz, but also Kriyat Shema. Remember Daftala and Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says you come home from the field after a busy day of work, and you say, oh, I'll eat a little, I'll sleep a little, and then you realize they woke up, it's morning, and you missed it, and you didn't say Kriyat Shema. So and it seems to be things that mitzvahs that we're doing at night. And the first Mishnah in Brachas talks about that nighttime mitzvahs, we tend to curtail their time till midnight. At least the chatchila till midnight. It would appear that even Rabbi Akiva might agree that lechatchila we should try to finish the Afikoman by midnight. Like Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He holds you can eat the Korban Pesach all night. And, you know, the Mishnah says in Brachas that really you have all night. We learn that from Korban Todah. That really you have all night to eat the Kachakachim, but the Chol Nechol Liyomecha, you say finish by Chatzos, Kedel Achiko Domin Averif. Rama calls it Kedel Achiko Domin Abshia. That when you know you're supposed to do something at night, leaving it off for one in the morning is really negligent. If you end up falling asleep and staying up all night.
Well, now that you're increasing the likelihood.
Neshena, yes. So that's... So what else? I have not heard that we have that standard for Sfiras HaOmer. The Rambam doesn't write. Rambam does write that Kriyat Shema should preferably be before midnight, but he does not say that Sfiras HaOmer should preferably be before midnight. So, and I'm the menorah has its own special din, not Shetich L'Regem and Ashok, because that's very much curtailed when people are walking in the street. But if you live in a place where people walk all night, it's not like here. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with anybody who says lechatchila you have to light the menorah before midnight. I'm not really assuming that you have busy people walking in the street all night.
Oh, right, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, is there any mila? Yeah, on the shena. But so it could be that maybe when we say because you might fall asleep, do this mitzvah earlier on, is only if the mitzvah is a Torah law. But all these things I'm just mentioning that are ostensibly Rabbanan, they have a bracha, Asher Kedishan Mitzvah Sagatzilana. So we usually, when that happens, we treat that mitzvah as if though it's a Torah law.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't recall anything about Sfiras HaOmer.
The Rambam is almost stands alone by saying that today counting the Omer is a Torah law. Rambam almost stands alone on this. And so I've seen that some poskim say that it's consistent with his opinion. Also, almost standing alone, that you can violate the mitzvah of offering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash today. Because almost everybody else says, no, there is a Torah law, you can't offer a sacrifice outside of the temple, but that's only when there is a temple.
He thinks we're still under mitzvah chiyuv.
Right, yeah. Right. So the mitzvah is still there. The mitzvah to bring the minchas omer is still there. When you don't actually bring a minchas omer, then sfiras omer is drabanan. Right, but that doesn't matter.
But nobody would say, I think, you
know, that we still have a chiyuv. No, but because we have just the potential alone is enough to make the din of Sfiras HaOmer, Torah law,
right,
and the potential that we could have a mikdash to offer korbanos makes my offering outside of a non-existent Beis HaMikdash still nonetheless sinful on the Torah level.
That's really taking intellectual constructs, really, really speaking.
Yeah. So it's as if though it exists and
empirical reality, he didn't care about empirical reality.
Amazing. Okay, so
I didn't know there was a restriction here. It's on of eating bread prior to Bezikat Chametz.
Eating bread prior?
Yeah.
What page is it in yours?
366.
Pardon.
That's a new one for me.
360s.
It's
360.
It's
note 30,
25.
Oh, I see.
It's
okay.
Well, I was concerned that the game came the next morning. If it wasn't.
I'm not sure why chametz isn't the issue. The issue is that you shouldn't be eating before because chametz. It's like you shouldn't be eating before light menorah. You shouldn't be eating before.
Okay, but maybe it's by a suda.
Yes, what is it? Shoplas, yes. Okay. Yeah, no, this is not a chametz thing.
It's a suda.
No, June, this is a suda. When you get home on next Tuesday night, and it's time to do the bedikah, you don't want to do the bedikah.
Hang around close.
You don't want, yeah. Plus, you don't want to push off the proper zman for starting it by getting involved with anything, a piano lesson or a ball game or a meal.
Like a
ball
meal, yeah.
And Yakov Gorodetsky, please come in. I'm finished. I'm giving a class here.
I see.
Okay.
I will.
No, you're not bothering. Stay here.
Thank you.
Okay. What happens if you have to be at a job and you're making a presentation and you don't have to lose your job over B'tikas Chametz? You have to lose your job over Shabbos and Yom Tov, but not over B'tikas Chametz. Not over Purim. Not over Tisha B'Av. Not over Chanukah. Not over Rosh Chodesh. Not even over Chol HaMoed, but you do have to lose your job over Yom Tov and Shabbos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Person has to be at the job. Late presentation, not getting home until 11 o'clock at night, next Tuesday night.
So nobody leaves at 5 o'clock.
So when am I going to do the Bedika? So, okay, you have all night to do it. Mm-hmm. All right, just do it.
What happens when you stream seed for getting rid of the homes the next day?
So we try to do like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has the standard lechatchila to burn it, dafka burn it. Now, don't throw it in the water. Just burn. The end of the Maseches Mura discusses what has to be burned, what has to be buried. Okay. So we try to maintain that standard, And the person who is stuck on his job and just can't get out. So you have a few choices. You can make a shliach. Shlucho shaladim kimoso. You're a shliach to get to be rid of the chametz and to burn it the next day. It can be done perfectly with a shliach. There's a lot of people doing here, right? Should we have one box for the chametz we're going to give to the shelter, and the other box, please leave your So, because getting rid of mitzvah kiyumis, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. Mitzvah chiyuvis is where you have to go out and do this mitzvah. Right? Shaking a lulav and esrog is a mitzvah chiyuvis. Mechayev yourself and get it. Right? Okay, wearing tefillin is a mitzvah chiyuvis. You have to wear tefillin. If you don't wear tefillin, you're vatal on the say. But putting up a mezuzah is a mitzvah kiyumis. You only need to put up a mezuzah if you live in a house that has a doorpost. Right? Or you live in a house. Someone who lives in a cave his whole life doesn't have to feel bad. Oh, I didn't put up a mezuzah. Right? We do see the Gemara Menachos says that you should try to wear a garment that is chayav and tzitzis, even if you wouldn't normally wear this garment.
Yeah, and otherwise, you end up with the paradox that you were talking about, which is you could do the bedik and end up no chametz, then you'd have to buy the chametz in order to burn it.
Right, so for that reason, we don't have to make the bedik ourselves. We can get a shliach, and we can even have a Gentile. The bedik I have to do, but the cleaning up for the chametz, the cleaning up, you can train a monkey to do it. You know, it has minor ramifications for hiddur mitzvah also. When something is a mitzvah kiyumis, generally, unless it's something that involves like your garment, your house, because you make your house look beautiful, you should make your mezuzah look beautiful, part of your house. You like to wear nice shoes, you like to wear nice shirts, you should also wear nice tzitzis. But you don't have to have a nice me'akeh on your roof. Make sure someone slips. You don't have to have a nice vacuum cleaner to clean up the chametz. You know what I'm saying? It's not part of the hechsher mitzvah or something that's separated from the mitzvah. All right? This is a bit of a tangent now, but the Gemara at the end of Masechet Shabbos talks about the things you should make sure is beautiful. It's not going to say you have to use a beautiful kli to clean the chametz. No such thing. But it does say you should have a beautiful shofar. You should have, so it says you should have beautiful tzitzis. It says you should make a beautiful bris milah. So.
It has four mitzvot.
Mitzvot yuvis. You have to do the bris. You have
yes.
Rav Chaim Brisker wanted to make a diuk. Why did the Gemara say you have to have beautiful tzitzis? It should say you have to have a beautiful talis.
Yeah.
So he says the talis is not the mitzvah. The talis is a means by the mitzvah. So the talis doesn't have to be beautiful. It's just the tzitzis has to be beautiful. They're expensive tzitzis. The strands should be very nice. The beged itself, nah, big deal. So Rav Chaim makes that diuk in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. But the Olam asks on Rav Chaim, come on, surely you know the main sugya in Shas on Hiddur Mitzvah is on Daf Tes and Mesechus Baba Kama. Why it's there is a different thing. But the sugya about the laws and parameters of Hiddur Mitzvah is on Daf Tes and Mesechus Baba Kama. And Rashi gives some examples of Hiddur Mitzvah and he says, and he writes Talis. So why is it an Achron, Rav Chaim Brisker, making a diuk in a Gemara that seems to fly in the face of what Rashi says in Baba Kama? I'm following my. So I would give an answer, and it's related to Bedikas Chametz. Yes, I like to make my mitzvahs beautiful, and I want to enjoy make. But it doesn't have to be anything in the background of your getting rid of your chametz to use a beautiful feather, a beautiful candle, a nice, you know. Just use the one that's most effective. So. Because at the time of the Gemara, your natural garment was a four-cornered garment. So you don't have to make sure it's beautiful. It's your natural garment. Just make sure that tzitzis attached to it is beautiful. But now, by the time of Rashi, everyone was doing this, men did not wear a natural four-cornered garment, and they put on a garment. During tefillah, they put on a garment that had four corners so that they could fulfill this mitzvah. That garment then should be beautiful. If you're fabricating it for the mitzvah, then it should be beautiful. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, let's say, a big frock that a man was wearing that had the corners at the bottom, but they just matzot tzitzis on. That frock doesn't have to be beautiful. Okay? So we're talking about but it's a beautiful standard to feel that this mitzvah, which is, you know, eradicating something or making something ka'afra da'ara, should be something that I'm enjoying doing. Well, it's on a bori.
No, if you take the symbol of mitzvah, or it's our,
So I'll close out with a little mili de'agadita, is that the Korban Pesach is like a ship with Korban Toda. In this week's Parsha, the Korban Toda, the Thanksgiving offering, is the most curtailed of all the kachikalim. It's a shlamim, but it only has one day. It's the only shlamim besides the El Nazir that has only one day to eat.
That
include
the challahs that go with it?
Yeah, that's it. The 40 challahs are meant to add to that problem, if you will. Because this person has a story to tell. Why are you coming to Yerushalayim? What happened to you? It's the first question we ask when someone ventures Gomel. Did you fly over or did you just get into a car accident? You just finished an operation. Why are you venturing Gomel? So it's interesting. The Gemara says, Arba chayovim lahodos. So most kachikachim are chiyuvim. Very few voluntary kachikachim. You know, ola is nedava, but most kachikachim are chatas nashim, and they're always coming. But most voluntary kabbalas are shlamim, are 2 day kabbalas. So the Gemara says arba chayavim lahodos. And if you look in the Perakuv Zion of Tillim, it talks about people who sinned. They admit their sin that made this thing happen to them. So that's why the Korban Tamid has chametz in it. It's the Korban Toda. It's the only individual Korban that has chametz in it. 10 of the breads are chametz. So because that's the source of Esau that caused that person to sin, that made that threat and for which he's thanking Hashem.
The multiplicity of those sort of required is to invite people.
Exactly. That's the Netziv. In the Sforno, it seems that Netziv, especially the Netziv, that because you only have one day to eat it, you don't want to give two-thirds of an animal to Nosar.
And other love.
You can invite your 40, 60, 100 closest friends to eat all this bread and all this meat, and then you're going to sit around in a table. Hey, that's the Seder.
Yes. That's great.
Seder is a shtickle karma toda because that leaves even less time to eat.